Dear friends, bonsoir. Welcome on JCB Live. I cannot wait to spend more time with you and Marty tonight to discuss one of the most important moments of all time, Bastille Day. We are anticipating of a few hours, and this is why Marty, being on the East Coast, is a lot closer to the French. So we're deciding tonight to share with you the great history of Bastille Day. Hello, Marty.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Marvelous. Merveilleux. Si.
We're excited to see all our friends who are here with us tonight.
Yes, absolutely. We have so many who are joining us just for this special celebration.
Yes, it's very exciting. And as you know, I'm wearing, of course, my Franco-American beautiful pin. And the main reason why, I will explain you shortly, because the American have a little bit to do with the French Revolution. Identically, and of course, we've played a little bit of a role for 1776 and the independence of the United States. I have my French flag as well. So let's welcome Colin Nichols, Laurie Turner, Robert Landy, Jacqueline Mann. I'm so glad you're here. Sarah Brewer, of course, Ilona, Big Kiss, Donna, Jamie. So we're going to make it very interactive tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk history and what created this amazing nation and the influence sometimes of the French for around the world. Scott Bigelow, Jason Boder, Lisa Brown is with us. This is a great group. Cecil, bonjour. And I'm glad your Diamond Mountain arrived today. A full case again. We have a new tasting room in one of the best parts of the United States. I'm so excited. In Kansas. So, dear friends, I'm with my lovely, irresistible, Vin Enlightenment, adorable friend, Marty. And tonight, we're going to have a lot of fun telling you about the story that we love, or one of the stories we love the most, between the French, the Americans, and, of course, in between the Canadians and all the world, and one of the key moments in history that really pivoted world history and certainly European history. So, Marty, let's toast to Bastille Day. We would be in France, we would do that breakfast to the evening. So, Marty, what are we toasting with? I'm going to let you introduce the wine, and I'll tell a few words about the history.
Sure. Well, this is from one of our favorite producers, Louis Bouillot, who the winery was founded in 1850 at a time which was after the French Revolution, a time when winemaking was conducted primarily by commercial entities. And this particular winery was founded in 1850 and very soon came to specialize in a very unusual subset of wines from Burgundy. At that time in France, almost all sparkling wines came from the next region to the north, the famous Champagne region. But Louis Bouillot earned credibility and a name for high quality wines from the Burgundy region, wines that we today know as Crémant de Bourgogne. And so what we're enjoying now is from Louis Bouillot. It's the one, if you visit the winery, they call the Grand Reserve. But if you look on the label, it has its own name, Pearl de Vigne, the Pearl of the Vines. And I do love this blend. It is made in the Champagne method with extra aging to enrich its texture and add that note of slight biscuity aromatics. And I think that one of the things I appreciate most about it is that it goes beyond the traditional grapes of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir of Burgundy, which of course make up over 85% of the blend. But there are small amounts here of two smaller, lesser grapes from the region as well. Gamay on the red side, which we know from the Beaujolais region, and a white grape called Aligoté, which is also quite interesting in the citrusy zing that it brings to the wines.
So well said, Marty. 1877 was the beginning of Louis Bouillot, that historical day, that pivot moment of the 19th century, which really triggered a blossoming research as far as bubbles and vinifying Grand Cru, Premier Cru, great villages into sparkling, included my beloved Chateau du Clos Vougeot. But 100 years before, something major happened in French history. This was all the French storming in direction of Bastille, which was a little prison, a political asylum, and willing as the people to revolt against the king. Remember, France by that time had been a monarchy for many, many, many centuries. Monarchy means a king and a queen, a fabulous lineage that really spread all over Europe. The time was fantastic because Louis XIV was kind of the king who created, as you all know, Versailles and lived at the Louvre before in the Palais Royal. There was an amazing dynasty, one of the longest kings. After him came the wonderful Louis XV, very known to really do a lot of great things for France, including arts and literature, philosophy, and naturally, of course, beautiful furniture and inspiration for the world. Louis XVI married a great loving queen, Marie Antoinette, and together they ruled for many decades. However, the French population being very hungry, being starving, and the king not paying enough attention to his population, obviously triggered this amazing revolt. And this is really a key moment in French history that took all over Europe by surprise, but very importantly, through a great movement and a great declaration of human rights. We'll speak about it, but in honor of the king, we need to have one wine, which was actually very well chosen by Marnie, because this wine is the Deloach Vineyards. Why carefully?
Yeah.
Today it's about, obviously, the taken over by democracy over the aristocracy of France, and at the same time, a few 150 years before, the French king pushing away all the people who would not be Catholic, as we call the Huguenots, or the Lutherans, or the Calvinists, or whatever school of thought you were not allowed to be in France unless you shared the same belief. So part of the Huguenots, many famous ones left, and specifically where Marnie resides originally, and came to the U.S. and came on the west coast of the U.S., including the Deloach family. They left the wonderful town of Loches in France, which is outside of Tours, and decided to migrate to the U.S. and for sure start swine. Yes, Marnie?
Well, I was going to say that exodus of the Huguenots from France brought winemaking know-how to rare and remote parts of the globe. It's not just California, not just Canada, yeah. South Africa, the entire Southern Hemisphere benefited from this incredible tradition of French winemaking, because as we know, the French were a good century or two ahead of most other European nations in terms of their ability to refine the winemaking process with the goal of making higher quality wine in smaller quantities. That really was, French were not the first to make wine. They were not the first to grow grapes, but they were the first to systematically improve wine's quality. As we can taste here, that knowledge and know-how was put to great in the New World. And in this case, we're drinking almost, I think of this as one of our Sonoma Grand Crus from the Ritchie Vineyard, rustic Russian River Valley, rolling slow, gentle slope down towards the river. This vineyard has just tremendous concentration and complexity in its wines, because these vines in 1972, a mix of Wente and Mousquet clones, so they have tremendous aromatics, and it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous wine to enjoy, and especially with that lovely fleur-de-lis on the label, what better wine to celebrate the Franco-American spirit on Bastille Day?
Well, as Carla is saying, this wine is delicious, and as Cecil is saying, this is in the past of history to great wines of today. Imagine if you put yourself in the context of history, which I always love to do, because my favorite question to all of you listening tonight, and you may want to chime in, if you were not born in the 20th century, and I assume most of you are, unless you are underage to drink, which you're totally fine with me. Of course, I started drinking, as you know, in my mother's stomach. What period of time would you have liked to be born? And I need to confess, the Enlightenment period, the 18th century, the century of light, is really one of my favorite centuries of all time. With a 14, with a 15, and with a 16. Not only fascinating in France, but in Italy, in Spain, of course, because the brothers of the King of France obviously were operating all those places. And you know, the French had extreme interest in remote lands as well, and were very interested in the United States in many ways, and specifically the east part of the US, and naturally in the 1770s to kick the English, send them back home, and allow America to become what it is today.
Yes. And to inspire the French Revolution 13 years later.
So what happened, dear friends? On this famous day, actually, of July 13th, a lot of the French people heard that the Minister of Finance got imprisoned. And obviously, this was the beginning of a rebellion. So there was only 7 prisoners in the Bastille at that time. One of them, of course, the famous Marquis of Sade. If you love those beautiful writings about romance and seduction and the beautiful letters of the Marquis de Sade, you want to dive into it because he wrote it in prison. A few other prominent political people. The French started to move in that direction on the famous Place de la Bastille and really started as a symbol to take it over and really march, which really triggered, dear friends, something fantastic, specifically in today's time we need to celebrate, is what we call in the world the Declaration of Rights of Man and Citizen. I looked at my little cheat note because it's a man with a capital M, of course, which then, as you know, triggered in 1948 the Declaration of World Civil Rights that happened for the world. But many of the sentences and the meaning of this famous declaration written at that time in France was the beginning of the symbol of democracy. Guess who helped writing this declaration? Abbé Sieyès, a very famous abbé of France, my favorite actor of the 18th century, the Marquis of Lafayette, and guess who consulted from the United States?
Would that be Benjamin Franklin?
It could have been, and it was in a way, but the big man who did is the symbol of the people who love wine, love him, Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson
became the official consultant loving France and being the minister of France, because at the time he was the minister of France, détaché, not in France, but from the US. Interestingly enough, Lafayette came, as you all know, in the 1770s to help the Declaration of Independence and obviously on the sides of Jefferson. So vice versa, and as a consultant, really helped to write this famous declaration. This is why I love the friendship. And when we talk about the true friendship of America and France, this was not only done during wars or during big moments, but as well for writing major texts of history. And this is why it's so exciting to be able to recognize those two men as far as their involvement. George Washington became a great friend of the Marquis of Lafayette to the point that the Marquis's fourth son was named among Lafayette, George Washington Lafayette. Pretty cool when we think about no emails, no text, no telephone at the time, just letters and correspondence, the friendship those people could solidify, bring together, and even more importantly, bring our nation forever friends. And very importantly, again, I want to stress the fact that our two nations really represent the symbol of democracy. This is very important when you read this declaration that was really written August 26th, just a few days, again, under the pressure of the French population pushing. 5 weeks later, that text was written with eloquence, with precision,
with sophistication, that it was kept again, as it is in the US, the famous Declaration of Independence, still read today, still in France, used, not as the mainstream of the Declaration of Independence or the civil rights, but in many ways used as the foundation of it. Marty, pretty cool, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
And Rosie loved the history part. We have a lot more for you. What about Josefina? Woo! It's a great pleasure to meet you as well. Robert, French sip, I agree. Is there anything better? Ilona, aren't we having fun with the French and the Americans together? And you know, what is so interesting in 48, in 1948, when the United Nations Universal Rights were written, they actually took on the screen the Independence of the United States Declaration and that very famous August 26, 1789, you know. And that movement started, and then we know Napoleon came afterwards, but very importantly, what he did in Europe, it started a great movement from Belgium to, of course, Holland, to Germany, to the northern countries, and to the eastern countries as a movement towards having that powerful rights within the people and not just the aristocracy. And that was really the beginning of the society we know today. This is why the French really love to celebrate this famous day of July 14th, not necessarily for what happened on the Bastille. This is just the symbol, the image, but for what it created for the rest, as far as all the people at large in the country. So do you think, Marty, this wine really symbolized freedom and the beginning of a new chart in the wine chart of the Russian River in America?
Oh, I don't know that we can convince all of our neighbors in Sonoma to go along with a CRU classification. If we did, it might take us 50 years to debate and decide which vineyards float to the very top, the creme de la creme. But I do suspect that the Ritchie would be very close to the top.
Well, what I love with this wine as well, and this is why we obviously chose it, is the purity of it and the whole approach of organic and biodynamic farming, being close to Mother Nature. Purity for the rights of everyone to express themselves, and obviously organic and biodynamic farming for the rights to let Mother Nature express herself. What better symbol of democracy to let nature alone and give her back the best she has to offer? Because many of you have been listening to the organic and biodynamic in the vineyards with Sophie, as well as with Joe and the preps we're doing. We are really reinvesting from Mother Nature to Mother Nature, and we're preventing anything. And as an update to the vineyards, I was in it today. It's looking spectacular. I cannot tell you of any better harvest than this one made in 2020. So we are blessed by giving back. We're blessed by letting nature autodetermine herself, by being free, by giving us the best she has to offer. But, you know, as we migrate towards another wine, I want to tell you a little bit of a story, Marnie, about the famous Clos of the King. So, as you all know by now, wanted to live forever, like every king, any emperor, any dictator, or any gods. We want to live forever. Louis XIV wanted to live forever. So he asked his doctor, name was Fagot, very famous French doctor, how do I live forever? Doctor tells him, drink good red wine. So the king already liked Burgundy, so he proceeded to say, like Burgundy. And Fagot said, yes, of course. Let's go to Burgundy and witness it ourselves. They did a trip to Burgundy, which is not too far away, as you know, from the Loire Valley and Versailles. It's probably today 4.5 hours driving. At the time, obviously, on horses, much longer. But a very fantastic place. They arrived in the Côte de Nuit, and they obviously tour all the best Grand Cru, and the king, of course, by being the king, and the virtues of the king, the the right of the king, appropriate himself a variety of vineyards. How does he name them? Clos du Roi. He comes to the Côte d'Avon, witness the beautiful, beautiful Beaune vineyards, and he says, this wine should be mine. It's corpulent, it's powerful, it's masculine, it's a wine with authority, it should be mine. He simply called it Clos du Roi. Roi in French means king, Clos the king, and it became his vineyards. It's a pretty nice way to get yourself a nice estate. So very luckily, we've preserved those very unique Clos. Clos means it's enclosed by wall, and it became one of the Bouchard Aîné vineyards, one of our wineries founded in 1750 by, you know, Bouchard as one of the key iconic wines. Bouchard as well as many other Clos du Roi in other areas of Burgundy. But Marty, tell us about this wine, because this is one of my favorite Côte d'Avon wines.
Well, and I think that once you know that the Bouchard Aîné winery is based in the town of Beaune itself, which is very close to the location of this vineyard, and that it is in a historic site as well, wasn't that the Hôtel du Conseiller du Roi as well? The counselor to the king was located in that building as well?
Advisors to the king live in the magnificent estate that is today Bouchard.
Yes. So this particular vineyard, I think head and shoulders in concentration above the other Premier Crus of the Beaune appellation. And it's no surprise that we know that when you were talking about that visit where the king was choosing which vineyards would be his, this is something that even back, this was happening in 1477, then there was a way to determine which were going to be the highest potential quality in the vineyards. It was where the snow would melt first in the spring. And that's because those were the slopes that had the proper exposure to the rising sun in the morning. Those inevitably would produce the highest quality wine, because back then you needed more sunshine and more warmth to give you the degree of ripeness to make this kind of concentration and power. So this wine is, it's true that when we talk about the Burgundies, we tend to expect those from the Côte d'Avon to be more delicate, to be paler, to be fresher and more full of red fruit than those of the Côte de Nuit further north, mainly due to differences in soil and exposure to the sun. However, this is at the very northernmost part of the Côte d'Avon and one of the northernmost vineyards within the village of Beaune, almost reaching towards and trying to become part of the Côte de Nuit to the north. And you can feel that stronger power, that deeper, darker fruit is available on the nose as well, giving you more blackberries and less raspberries, for example. The wine is just gorgeous. And when you give it a taste, you can really tell that the winemakers at Bouchard take pride, a special pride, in the wines that show the best quality from their own home village of Beaune.
Well, and we have our friend Laurence from Switzerland. Hello, Laurence Schlatter, my beautiful, irresistible friend, where we could see her Désallée vineyards actually from Beaune. And she's on the other side, on the lake in Geneva. So I love as well, we have our friend Mag, we met in La Jolla, who is with us tonight, and Robert Landy, Cindy Martin, of course, Scott Bigelow, and many of you who love Bouchard Aîné. And I'm so glad, because this wine really represents, if there's a wine to have for Bastille, this is kind of the identity of Burgundy. You're going to realize Bouchard was started by a family who were silk and drapery traders out of Lyon, the capital of silk, where Hermès today makes those beautiful silk that you all enjoy or gorgeous size. And they used to buy the wine in Burgundy and bring it to Belgium and Holland as a gift when people started to enjoy the gift more than the silk. So they said, we better make wine. And luckily, one of the Bouchard family fell in love. What's not to love in Burgundy but a beautiful Burgundy lady? And luckily they had a romance. In the romance, a birth. A birth. Not a harvest. A birth of a beautiful child who became the heir of the Bouchard Ainley family. So Bouchard has been making wine, can you believe, from 1750, the reign of Louis XV, all the way to today. So very exciting winery to portray and represent. One of the first one ever on the QE2 to the United States. Bouchard has been one of the largest leading importer of fine wines all around the world. So wherever we go in any continents, you all can enjoy. Marty, I want to touch on one more point about, you know, French Revolution and the Declaration of Rights, which is so important. You know, it really prompted three main schools of thought. Enlightenment, which is very important, is the predominance of free expression, of expression through art, through literature, philosophy, sociology, anthropology, all the arts at large. Very important because a lot of that was suppressed and had to be approved by His Majesty the King. Number two, a social contract. Very important in France because everything was top down and the state became in charge, hence the voice of the people and elected people in charge of the country. So very big movement, very, very, very important. And finally, one of my favorite authors of the 18th century, very politically influenced, that American in the presidential system have used, is Montesquieu, who really pushed the separation of power and the division of obviously church and state. And within state, the executive, the legislative, and the operational power. So very important as well. So those three main movements, as early as 1789, when you go back over 250 years, we're going to realize it was not widespread at all around the world. Maybe a few countries, maybe a few tribes, maybe a few communities, but the world was not as it started to become. So I think when we celebrate tonight, with a time difference, or tomorrow, we need to really keep in mind what it did for the world at the time. And this year, I'm going to celebrate Bastille even more than ever before because of what it means towards the time we live in today. We are promoting, of course, diversity, equality, hope, peace, love, and no racism, and nothing of that matter. And of course, it was 250 years ago. Many atrocious things happened in between, many oppression moments, but we need to be compassionate about the effort of what this movement triggered. So I want to raise my glass today to a better world today and tomorrow. For us, hopefully, and I need more wine for that matter, because I know we're not there yet, but for all the efforts we all need to put towards a better world. And I think this is very important that the wine world forward voices his opinion. And at the same time, we use the table, the round table, as a place of neutrality and where everybody's welcome, where the wine glass is the symbol of culture, of differences, irrelevant of your skin color, your religion, your school of thoughts, your belief. Debating is so exciting. We don't have to fight or kill each other if we disagree. Let's debate. It's going to make all of us more intelligent, and let's do it in peace and with compassion and willingness to listen. So I want to raise this glass to the world in general to be a greater place, to nature to continue to influence us in the right way, and for all of us to raise the flags of our country as long as they keep bringing unity, fraternity, understanding, compassion, hope for everyone, and possibilities for all of us. So, Marty, let's bring wine at the epicenter. White Robert, Patrick says amen. He's getting married very soon, so we'll be the one saying amen to you and Michelle. To the love of life, and I will always bring our two countries together. It's not the differences, it's what brings us together. In spite of the thousands of miles, in spite of the constitution of our nations being different, what brings us together is love, is life, is philosophical ideas, different school of thoughts to help us to progress.
To the future, a better world, love and passion, Marnie, to the French tomorrow, who triggered a great movement around the world and the American and the rest of the world. Thank you, dear friends. We'll see you in a few days on Wednesday for an amazing JCB Live. But before Wednesday, drink a lot, celebrate a lot, read back the Declaration, and have a lot of fun. And obviously, we love you.